Morning. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, we've been looking at the book of Ruth, which is the historical account of King David's great-grandparents, Boaz and Ruth. And the Lord has blessed us with giving us an allegory seen and witnessed in their lives. It shows us, it's a picture, a type of our Lord's salvation for his people. We see that pictured in Ruth and Boaz and even Naomi. And it's an encouragement to the believer in seeing just how sweet and tender, how loving and kind our Lord is to his people, in drawing his people to himself and in redeeming them by his precious blood. We began looking at chapter 3, where we saw the faithful witness of Ruth, and we saw the childlike obedience, or the faithful witness of Naomi to Ruth, and we saw the childlike obedience of Ruth to that word, that faithful witness. And today I want to look at Ruth's request that she makes of Boaz, and then Boaz's promise to Ruth, and then Ruth's confidence, her trust in Boaz to keep his word of promise made to her. I've titled this message, Redemption for the Seeking Sinner. Redemption for the Seeking Sinner. So last week we saw that faithful witness of Naomi, and she counseled Ruth to go to Boaz. And that witness was a declaration of who Ruth was to go to Boaz. Where Ruth would find him, she would find him at the threshing floor, and what Boaz was able to do for Ruth. He could perform the duty of the kinsman redeemer. And that's a picture of the witness of the Spirit and the Church of God to the needy sinner of who we are to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And where will you find him? In the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God, testifying to who we are and who God is and what he has done for his people. And we declare what he's done for his people, what he's able to do for all the needy sinners who come to him. He redeems them with his precious blood. He washes the sinner in his blood, delivering us from the guilt and condemnation that our sin deserves, and leads us out of darkness into light. And to that wise counsel, Ruth responded, saying, "All that thou sayest, I will do." I will do it. She was given faith and confidence in that word. And so in Ruth, we see the obedience of faith that the Lord works in his children. This is wrought by the Spirit of God, who gives life and bears fruits of righteousness in his children. And when Boaz had finished his labors there at the threshing floor, he laid himself down to rest. And then Ruth laid herself down with her Lord, at the feet of her Lord. Ruth 3 verse 7 says, "When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn." He finished the labor. He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And he went and laid down, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And that's a picture of our Lord, who from the cross, when he made eternal redemption, when he made satisfaction unto God for his people, he cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." He saw what he had wrought, he saw the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. And so he gave up the ghost, and they took his dead body down from the cross and laid him in a tomb until he should be raised from the dead by God. And so it is that all his people, by faith in Christ, we've been crucified with Christ. We died unto the law in our Savior. And by faith, believing him, we are baptized into Christ. We are baptized with our Savior, and that being that immersion in the water by the believer, they show that they are dead to this world, dead to the flesh, dead to the works of man to try and save himself. All that has been put away by the grace of God worked in us, so that we're separated from that. We have no part in that inheritance in Adam. We have no part in the flesh. We are dead with our Savior, and we are buried with him. And then us coming up out of the water is a picture of our being raised again unto newness of life in our Lord. Now this brings us to the next verse of our text here, verse 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. He became startled. He became aware that something wasn't right. Something was wrong. Something was different. And he turned himself. And what that means is he began to twist and grab and reach up. What is that? What he was feeling around down there. What is that at my feet? And behold, a woman lay at his feet. Now we're told that the time when this happened, it was midnight. It came to pass at midnight. And then he said in verse 9, "Who art thou? Who art thou? Who are you?" Now Boaz didn't know who it was, and these were short, quick words. They sound like he was displeased, right? Who are you? What are you doing there? Who are you? And oftentimes when a sinner comes to Christ, a needy sinner, we come to Christ and we know what we've done. We know what we are. We know who we are and our insufficiency. And we come to Christ and we think, surely he'll be short with me. Surely he'll see right through me and he'll deal with me as my sins deserve. Will he receive me? Will he receive me? And so we come to our Savior at the time of midnight in our soul, when we're desperate, when the hour's up, and we don't know how it's going to play out for us, how it's going to go for us, but we go to him who's declared to us that he's the Savior. This is where you'll find him. He's able and willing to save, but we're troubled, and it would seem that Christ is displeased with us. Who are you? Who are you to venture upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him, Lord, to ask him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Have mercy on me, Lord, save me. And that's how we come. And Ruth had come to the end of her time there where the harvest was over. They were threshing the wheat. They were threshing the corn. They were finishing things up, and soon she wasn't going to be able to thresh in the fields anymore because it was over. It was midnight. The time was up, and she didn't know what she was going to do. And sinners with midnight in their soul, you know, today is the harvest day of grace. Today is the day of grace. You that are needy sinners, you that have no works of righteousness, you that have nothing that you can look to recommend you to God through which he would be merciful and kind to you, what are you going to do? What can you give to God to deliver your soul, to ransom your soul? What do we produce in this flesh, this barren, fruitless, dead, lifeless flesh? What can we bring to God? It's midnight in the soul. And the Lord makes his people to know that soon that sickle of our Lord is going to be thrust into the earth and reap that ripe fruit of the earth, the people of God. And that they'll be gathered in. When they're all gathered in, the next sickle to be thrust into the earth, according to its description in Revelation 14, is that which reaps the vine of the earth, the grapes of the vine, which are ripe. And those grapes of the vine are then cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. the Lord makes his people to know when it's midnight, when they need the Lord, and that they're desperate, they're needy sinners, and they flee to Christ, that they may be gathered in by the grace of our God and brought into the family of God by his work. And so they come. The needy sinner comes begging the Lord, cover me, Lord, with your blood. Lord, forgive me. Deliver me of my guilt. Treat me not as my sins deserve, but Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I can't pay. Don't put me into the prison, cast out into outer darkness. I have nothing to pay. I'll be there for an eternity because I have nothing that I can give to deliver my soul. But the Lord is merciful to take away the reproach, and by the blood of Christ, he's reconciled his people. And he's the one drawing them, gathering to himself in the preaching of the word by the power and glory of the Holy Spirit to give life where there was only death, to give light where there was only darkness. And so it is with Ruth. The time is midnight. In verse 9, he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." It's Ruth, your servant, Lord. "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." She's saying, cover me, cover me. You have the right to redeem me. You're able to redeem me and to deliver me from my reproach, to provide for me, to raise up a seed for my former husband, which he could give me no fruit, but you're able. You're able to raise up a seed and for my former husband who could give me no seed. We couldn't produce any righteous fruit. Turn over to Romans 7. Romans 7 and verse 4 and 5 is a picture of this. Romans 7, 4, Paul writes, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." All we could do in our place in Adam was bring forth fruit that died on the vine. It wasn't fruitful. We couldn't produce anything worthy of God's notice. But in Christ, he brings forth, by his seed, he brings forth righteous fruit unto God, whereby we are received of the Father in the righteousness and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would have that boldness that Ruth has to come to Boaz, that we would have that same boldness wrought in us to come to Christ our Savior, to come to the one whom the Lord has given to redeem his people. And that's how we come, right? Asking, Lord, redeem me. Help me. I'm the needy sinner. I need your grace. Lord, help me. And that's how we come, as Ruth came to Boaz, asking him, cover me, help me, I need your help. I can't save myself, I can't redeem myself, I can't bring forth any fruit. Cover me, Lord, cover me. And the Lord is a willing Savior. He's gracious to all that come to him. He's willing and able to save all that come to him, asking him for mercy and grace. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. And so Ruth comes here and she offers herself to Boaz. She makes a request of him plainly. She asks him, do this for me, please. She made her need known, that this was her desire, that this was her dependence, this was her life. Redeem me, cover me, make me your wife, cover me with your blood, take me under your wing to provide for me, to care for me, to keep me, to protect me, to free me from my reproach. Deliver me. I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. I'm your servant. And she asks, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Cover me with that covering that only you can provide for me. And you see there, it's a personal, intimate request between Ruth and Boaz. That's what the Lord does. He makes his people to go to the Lord and request. Ask him, Lord, save me. Remember me. Wash me, Lord. Wash me clean in your blood. And it's a intimate relationship between the believer and her Lord. And we see that sweet love that the Lord works in his people and drawing them to himself. And so that's how we come as sinners to Christ, humbly, as servants, in need of his blood covering, in need of him to do for us, because we cannot save ourselves. We have nothing to save ourselves with. It's personal. We need Christ. We need a Savior. Right? We need him to be more than the Savior. We need him to be more than the Savior. And what I mean is, we know that he's the Savior. Lord, would you be my Savior? Would you save me? I need you to be my Savior, Lord. I'm the filthy, needy sinner who can't produce righteousness myself. Lord, save me. You know, look at the leper that was cleansed in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. The leper knew he's the great physician. He heals those that are sick. He heals those that need him to heal them. He knew that. And he came and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you will, Lord, you can make me clean. You see that? He knew that Christ is the great physician, but he went to him and let it be known, would you heal me? Would you cleanse me of my filth, of my shame, my leprosy? Nobody wants to be by me. I'm a pollution. I'm a pollution to all that come near. Lord, would you cleanse me? And that's how we go. Have you gone to Christ and asked him for mercy? We know that he's the merciful Savior. We know that he is the Savior whom God provided for man to be saved, for men to be saved. He has a people. Have you gone to him and asked him, Lord, would you save me? Be merciful to me. I need your sin-cleansing blood, washing me clean of my sin. All who ask him for grace and mercy find him a willing, gracious Savior. All who ask. That's what he works in his people. And like that leper found him to be, so the sinner, the guilty sinner, going to Christ asking him, will find him to be merciful and gracious to them. Verse 3 there in Matthew 8, 3 says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And that's what the Lord, that's all the grace of the Lord worked in his children. Now I want to look at Boaz's promise to Ruth. Ruth asked Boaz to do this for her, and Boaz promises to Ruth, makes a promise to Ruth that he's willing to perform that work that she's asked him to do. He's willing to be the kinsman redeemer for her. But there's a lot of things that Boaz could have said. You can imagine that Boaz could have charged her with impropriety, that he could have sent her away, he could have been angry and spoke harshly to her, but as soon as he knew it was Ruth, and she asked him, cover me, he blessed her. He blessed her. He prayed for her and blessed her, that the Lord would bless her and do for her richly. Look at verse 10. Ruth 3, verse 10. And we'll read down to verse 13 together. And Boaz said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And that kindness that she showed at the beginning, what he's saying there is, you've done well. You've shown your mother-in-law great kindness, and you've separated yourself from your people, leaving your father's house, and you've joined yourself to Naomi and declared that her people are your people and her God is their God. And now this kindness that he's speaking of here is her desire, according to the law, to raise up a seed to her husband via the kinsman redeemer. She's honoring the word of God. She's heard that word, and she's going to him, asking him to do that for her, to redeem her. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy kinsman, that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, stay this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, that near one, well, it'll be good. Let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And so Boaz is willing. It says that Boaz's father was Salmon, and it's believed that Salmon was the brother of Elimelech. And that would make Boaz a cousin. But he's speaking of another, which means probably was another brother of Elimelech, so an uncle. And the uncle would be counted as closer than the cousin. And he's saying, well, let me go and clarify this. Let's make sure. If he's willing to do it, then, well, you'll be redeemed. Everything you desire, you'll be redeemed. But if not, don't worry. I will perform the work of the kinsman redeemer for you. Right? And if you can produce a righteousness by the law, well, you'll be received in that. But if you can't, if the law can't save you, Christ is able and willing. He's done that for his people. And so we know we cannot produce a righteousness by the law. We cannot save ourselves. We need the blood of Christ. We need his work, because there is no other way. There is no other way for us. And so Boaz here, he loved Ruth and he was willing, but this redemption must be just. It must be just. This is why it had to be this way. It had to be perfect. It had to be just before God. And you see that as much as Boaz loved Ruth, and you can tell by reading it that Boaz loved Ruth, but it had to be according to the just, holy law of God. God must be honored perfectly in it. And so he wouldn't redeem Ruth unless the law would be satisfied. It had to be perfectly satisfied, the law of God. And that's what Christ has accomplished for his people. He performed that work of redemption perfectly according to the law. Right? God didn't just wink at the sin of his people. He didn't just close his eyes and pretend that didn't happen and said, well, I love them, so I'm just going to let that slide for them and then punish the others. No, he poured out his punishment upon us in Christ our ark, in Christ our deliverer, in Christ our Savior. He bore the punishment of God's people so that in Christ, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Our Lord made full satisfaction to the Father by bearing the sin of his people. And God poured out his wrath and judgment on Christ, that we in Christ would go free, be delivered from that wrath and judgment in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he made full satisfaction. He paid the debt as our surety. He paid the debt that we owed. Every last farthing, every last drop, everything that needed to be paid was paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he died our death, that we should go free and live unto God in eternal life with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Ghost and his people, because Christ has obtained that righteousness for us. Turn to Romans 3 and we'll see that. Romans 3. This is what Paul is saying in verses 24 through 26. He says in verse 24 that we're justified, being justified. That's God pronouncing you righteous. God saying, you're just. You are justified in my sight. You are righteous in my sight. I'm well pleased. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the blood purchase that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, to be the very reason why God forgives us, to be the means of our forgiveness, a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. If God just forgave us because he loved us, but our sins weren't paid for, God wouldn't be just. And God is holy, holy, holy. He is just. There is no unrighteousness, no darkness in our God. He's perfect and holy. And so our sin was put away perfectly, justly. It was all paid for by the blood of the Lamb of God. And so God's just to forgive us. And he's the justifier, the one who does forgive us. Now, let's go back to our text in Ruth 3, and let's read verses 14 through 18. And Ruth lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, a shawl or an apron, something that she had on her, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? In other words, are things different with you? Are things different with you? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. And some see that measure of 6 as being perhaps 6 blessings. And to me, it sounds as though the Lord's saying, or that Boaz is saying to her, that number 6, which is less than 7, which is perfection, right? There's something yet to be done. Boaz still had something to go and do. It wasn't quite finished just yet. He had to go and secure her redemption, whether by another or by himself. He had to secure that for her. Then Naomi said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And it's such a picture of the faithfulness, the diligence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You that believe him, you see what a faithful man he is, what a faithful Savior he is to come and work our righteousness. He didn't rest. He had no place to lay his head, and he didn't look for it until he had finished the labor, until he finished that work fully, completely for you, his darling people whom he loves, that he would cover and make you his bride, his beloved bride. And so Ruth trusted that word. Right, she trusted the word. In the beginning of chapter 3, we see Naomi bears witness to this faithful one. And she said, all that you've testified to me, all that you've said for me to do, I will do it, Ruth said. Right, I'll do it. And then she went and she did it. And she asked Boaz to redeem her. And Boaz said to Ruth, I will do this redeeming work for you. I'll do all that thou requirest. And so it is that our Savior in grace does all that is required. And those that he does it for, they seek him. There's a work wrought in us by the grace of God, by his Spirit, so that we do come seeking him for grace and mercy. We do. As needy sinners, we will seek him and ask him to forgive us and to save us. And the Lord is pleased to work that effectual work in our hearts, and to draw us to himself as trophies of his grace, as the wonders of his grace and mercy for us, so that that fruit of faith is born in his people, and then he blesses his people for the faith that he works in them. He blesses us by the work of Christ being worked in us, covering us, washing us in his blood. And so Ruth found that rest that she sought in coming to Boaz. And so do needy sinners who come to Christ. They find that rest that they seek. They find that rest that they seek. And once Boaz had finished the work that he promised to do, then he rested from his labors. It was done. And like Naomi said, he's not going to rest this day until he's finished that work that he's purposed to do. And that's what our Savior does for his people. Then he calls his people into that rest. He says in Isaiah 11:10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign, a marker of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." And so Ruth stayed there at Boaz's feet till the night had passed, and then Boaz gave Ruth everything she needed. Everything he needed. He gave her his word, he loved her, and he confirmed to her that she would be redeemed, and that he would redeem her. That's what it came to, and it did. And that she was fully provided for. She was covered and received everything she needed. And so I would say, you that are needy sinners, go to Christ. Go to Christ. Seek him for mercy. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to cover you with his blood. Because all who ask him, all who seek him, shall find him a gracious, willing Savior, able to save to the uttermost all that come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So trust him. That's what he gives his people. He promises to forgive all that come to him. Amen.